Good morning, and welcome to First Rough Ireland. If you're meeting with us here in person, online, or listening later in CD, you're very welcome, and I trust you'll be greatly blessed with our time together. Some announcements. This afternoon, community classes will start, so please, if you're planning to go to those, contact me or turn up at 3 o'clock. We will be starting with a cup of tea, and it'll be an hour long, so the community class is starting today. The PW will be on this Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and the theme will be getting to know your committee night, so please plan to go along to that. Also, the midweek, as usual, at 8 o'clock. So again, if you haven't been, there's still a few Wednesday evenings left for the midweek, so please come to that for the time of fellowship, praise and study of God's word and prayer. Also, hopefully I have, there's a few little slides I have at the beginning maybe, sorry. I tell the AV team nothing, sorry, forgive me. Yes, here's some little, the Rough Ireland Men's Shed. We've been asked to just promote some of the things in our little town. So Rough Ireland Men's Shed, again, you can see the times there. It is for men, sorry ladies, from 10:30 to 2:30, Tuesday and Saturday. So do plan to go along there. You're invited to pop in and see. And again, I may do so myself at some point. There's also the sensory playroom in the town, in case you didn't know there was one there, especially for those with special needs. So that's available with a yearly membership and then a price you can see there to go into, just reminding you some of the things that happen in our own town. Thursday Fellowship is this Thursday, starting at 10 for a cup of tea or coffee, and special guests will be Keith and Hilda Spears. So please, if you are available at that time, please plan to come along and enjoy the fellowship there too. Sorry, I can hardly see this. I sent us a wee PDF file, so this was the best I could do. But this Saturday at 7:30, CEF Mourne Area are having their spring fellowship evening down in the Baptist Church, and the final speaker will be myself. So if you support CEF, please plan to come along to that to hear what's happening, especially with the 5-day clubs. And if you don't support CEF yet, please plan to come along and hear their report, so perhaps you will as you hear the great work they are doing. And then next Sunday night, we have a Vision of Good Hope Moldova service here in the church at 7 o'clock. And there'll be a lot of different people taking part in that, all focusing on what the work in Moldova or Transnistria is all about, and also pointing out how we can help this side of things, the work in the shop, the van, lifting different things, etc., from houses to supply the shop. So come along to that. If you're not sure what goes on with those two shops in the town, why don't you know already? But come along and get an update and a time of praise and fellowship with a cup of tea as well. So that's next Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday night, we also have the Youth Fellowship in the Morrison Room. And I'm just looking down this and a little bit of announcements. Yes, Kirk Session are planning to organise a thank you evening for all those in the congregation who have given of their voluntary time in keeping the congregation operational throughout the pandemic and the recent vacancy. So there's no date or time yet. I think there's a little difficulty with getting the final date and time, but that will be coming soon. But we need to know, again, all who will be available. It might be a little bit easier for you to sign that sheet when you have the date, but we want to get some idea of how many will come to that. So please write your name down, or as someone said in the foyer there, write someone else's name down if you know of someone that's been volunteering quite a bit. But this is for all who have volunteered, so we do expect a large amount. Indeed, in theory, everybody in church gets involved, so whatever you do, get your name down, because this will be a thank you evening for that. Now, I think that's all the announcements. I usually depend on David for that, but that should be it. Now, we gather today not just to get an awful lot of announcements and try and remember them, but we gather, of course, to worship and praise the one true living God. In Psalm 95, we read, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So let us stand and worship our God as we sing our first hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning to rejoice, to praise your name, because you are our God, you are our Creator, you are our Shepherd. Lord, in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus, Lord, you promise to guide us, you promise to look after us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that in Jesus we can be your sheep, we can be your flock, enjoying you now and forever. Lord, we praise your name. But Lord, we confess, as your people, as your sheep at times, even over the past week, we have wandered off in our own ways, doing things we should not, going places we should not. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in and through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of your Son who died for us. And Lord, we pray this day as we gather, you will encourage us as we praise your name. You will challenge us as we gather around your word. And then, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, help us to go forth and follow you, living our lives for you. So, Lord, we can be a blessing, so we can bring joy to those around us and bring glory and honor to your great and awesome name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our Bible reading today, we will be looking at 2 Samuel 15. Again, this is what we'll be studying at the children's. time, and also the children we'll be looking at in Sunday school, and then we'll be going over to Mark 4. So first, 2 Samuel 15, reading from verse 1 to 10. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road heading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a command, with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there's no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case would come to me, and I would see that he receives justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way towards all the Israelites who came to the king, asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord while your servant was living at Geshur in Aram. I made this vow: if the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship the Lord in Hebron." The king said to him, "Go in peace." So he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say, Absalom is king in Hebron." Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. And then turning over to the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. The start of a very well-known parable. Let's hear the word of the Lord. "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell in good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.'" Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children will come to the front, I'm going to come down and talk to everyone there. Good to see you all this morning. You all good? Happy enough? Enjoying being back in school? Yeah, and there's a... Well, sure. It's all good. Now, is there a wee space somewhere, maybe? What do you move up a wee bit? Graft.
Good. Now, imagine if your father or mother was number one in the land. King or queen, wouldn't that be great? Would it? Yeah. Imagine the perks that would come with that. People would make sure that you had the best of everything. People would make sure they were very careful in how they treated you, wouldn't they? If your mum or dad was father, was queen or king. And I'm sure you'd be very thankful, wouldn't you? Great position to be in. Well, we hear about a man today, and he wasn't so happy. And his name, as we heard in the Bible reading, was Absalom. Do you know who his father was? What can you guess? Yeah.
King of Israel.
He was king of Israel. Can you guess which king he was? The best king that Israel ever had was? Anyone else in the church is allowed to answer? Come on. David. His father was King David. Wow. Imagine that. Not only having your father being the king, but it was King David. But Absalom, well, he was not happy with this at all. Do you know why?
It's on the wall.
It is. It is. Do you know why he wasn't happy? He wanted to be king. Forget his father. He wanted to be king himself. Was that fair?
No.
No. His father was king. Absalom should have been happy with that. He should have been willing to follow him and do whatever he could to please him. And you know, that's the way it should be for all. Our parents, no one here has a king or a queen as their mum and dad, do they? Or as those, no, you don't. But the Bible says, should you listen to them? Should you listen to your parents?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good loud yes. I like that. You should listen to them. Because remember, one of the commandments says, honor your father and mother. Which commandment is that? Clues on the screen? Anyone else? It is, because it's from, that commandment is from Exodus 20, verse 12. That tells you where you can find it. And it's number, yeah?
Five.
Number five is the fifth commandment. It tells us to honor our father and our mother. And what does that mean? What does it mean? Yeah?
To obey them.
That's part of it. When they tell you to do something, don't leave them hanging. Don't make them have to tell you about five times. Do you ever do that? I think I might still be guilty of that sometimes when my mother phones me, which is wrong. But yeah, it means we obey them straight away. What else does it mean? You always obey straight away, don't you, Megan?
I'm the party.
Okay, I'm not going to ask what that was. But anyway. So what else does it mean? You obey your parents. You treat them with respect, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That means whenever they ask you to do something, you don't have a face on. You're like, oh, roll their eyes again. You don't go and talk about them to other people, do you? Because that's not showing respect. You try and avoid things that you know would not make them happy. So when you're not with your parents, you still try and do things they would agree with, don't you? That's all part of what it means to honor your father and mother. But Absalom, he didn't care one bit. He wasn't wanting to obey his father. He was wanting to get rid of him. Imagine that. And he was a very sneaky man. He thought and thought, well, what could I do? So he decided he would make everyone love him and start to forget about his father. Not very nice. But he went and he met people trying to come to the city to see the king. He stopped them, asked them where they were from, and he made them believe that he would be the one that could sort all their problems out. He wanted them all to think so good of him, and he wanted them to think his father was terrible. That's not honoring your father, is it? That is horrible. But that's what Absalom did. And then he went to his father, pretending he was a good son. Sometimes we can play let's pretend, can't we?
Yes.
We can pretend we're so good, yet we're just thinking of all these things we're going to do that we shouldn't. We need to be careful. God knows everything. God doesn't play let's pretend. But Absalom said, O mighty king, He didn't like him at all as king or as a father. I have to go to Hebron. I made a pledge to God that I would go and worship him. And David said, you go ahead. But that's not what Absalom was doing. Absalom was gathering all these people together. And he had it so whenever he said something, everyone would declare that he was king. Imagine that. He wanted everyone to rebel against his dad and make him king. You know why that was? We're not 100% sure. Perhaps Absalom was not happy with his dad. Perhaps he was angry. Perhaps they had a disagreement. Because, you know, parents aren't perfect, are they?
No.
That was a very quick no. But yeah, it's true. Parents are not perfect either. And parents, we need to try to make it as easy as possible for our children to honor us. We need to be behaving in honorable ways so they find it easy. But sometimes we can get annoyed with our mums or dads. Sometimes they may ask us to do something we just don't want to do. Does that ever happen? Everyone's looking down. It can. Sometimes we can think we know better than our parents do. Do you ever think like that? Maybe. Sometimes. And you know, sometimes parents do mess up because we're not perfect. But we need to be careful because God tells us we are always to honor them, to show them respect. And hopefully when as parents we do mess up, we will talk to our children and try to explain and sometimes say sorry. Well, whenever we do something wrong, we should always say sorry. But even parents need to do that at times. But Absalom hated his father. He wanted to be king. And that meant if he was going to be king, could David be king? No. He had to go for his life. He had to disguise himself and leave the palace. This is what his son had done for David. David had to go on the run. But you should be very careful because Absalom was disobeying God by disobeying his parents, but also by doing all these terrible things. Do you think it would end well for Absalom? No, it didn't. In the end, Absalom was killed. And King David was very sad about that, very sad, but he did become king again. Absalom's plans completely just fell. Remember, it's important to honor your father and mother, no matter who you are. That means show them respect. That means seek to do as they ask. It means when they ask you to do something, try and do it in the first time, not the fifth. That's part of what it means to honor your father and mother. Don't show them disrespect. God has said, honor your father and mother. We need to seek, you need to seek God's help to do that. And parents, we need to make sure our children find it easy to do that as we seek to do what is right and as we are quick to say sorry when we do something wrong. Because parents, we do mess up at times too. So we need to be quick to say sorry so our young ones can find it easier to obey this command. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. In Christ, we are your children. Lord, help us honor you and obey you. And Lord, help us honor our parents and obey them. And Lord, as parents, help us make it easy for our children to do so as we do what is right and as we are very quick to say sorry when we realize we have done wrong. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Now we're going to sing this little chorus. We'll just look through it a little minute first. Better is one day with Jesus than 1,000 on my own. And then there's also after this is a chorus, isn't there? You flick through it just on down. Yeah, how wonderful, miraculous, incredible, marvelous, magnificent and excellent are all of God's ways. And then it goes to the hymn after that again, yeah, better is one day with Jesus. So we just go through it, all of that. Okay? So we're going to stand right to the beginning and we'll sing it through. Thank you.
It's good to hear the young ones going out to church, isn't it? So happy. Joyful. Grand. Now we're going to have a time of prayer, praying to give thanks for what God has done for us, how God has blessed us. And we'll also be bringing our requests before him. And today, again, we'll be praying specifically for the war going on in the Middle East, Ukraine, as well as other wars. There are so many wars going on around this world that we do not always hear of. And we need to be praying for them as well, for those families who have lost their homes and the difficulties that they have to go through too. So let's come before the Lord and let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can call you Father. Lord, that because your Son Jesus came and died on the cross, shedding his blood for us, we can be forgiven. We can be your children. Lord, we are so thankful for that. Lord, we are thankful for the daily bread you give us. Lord, you provide for all our needs and so much more. So, Lord, we give you our thanks. Lord, and we give you these, our offerings today, as tokens of our thankfulness, and pray that you will use them for the advancement of your kingdom, to bring glory and honor to your great and holy name. And Lord, as we bring you our thanks, we also bring our prayers before you, and we are thankful that we can bring our requests. Lord, we pray for this world. Lord, we pray for this world where there's so much violence, so many wars going on at this time. Lord, we pray for what's going on in the Middle East at this time. We pray that instead of a heightening of tension, instead of more fighting, Lord, there will be peace. And Lord, we admit we do not know how peace can be brought to that situation, but Lord, you are our God. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are made in your image, precious in your sight. So Lord, we pray again that you will direct those who can, Lord, bring peace, those in positions where they can agree for peace. Lord, we pray that you will give them wisdom. Give them wisdom in how that this can be practically brought about. Because humanly speaking, it seems sometimes impossible. But you are God. So Lord, work in those situations. Work with those people who have their authority. Lord, we pray for those who have been displaced from their homes, Lord, in that part of the world and in other parts, Lord, because of war, because of violence, because of hurt. Lord, we pray that you will help them find places of safety, places they can flourish instead of suffer. Lord, places where they can find their daily bread and so much more. Lord, we pray for those people, Lord, that help those who have had to leave their homes. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. We pray that you'll bless those who are in the midst of war at this time, are risking their lives so medical care can go out, so food, so water can be supplied. Lord, keep them safe, we pray. Lord, we pray in Ukraine at this time too for those who have been enduring war for such a long time. Lord, we pray there for peace. Lord, and we pray that you will just keep the people of that country safe. Lord, for those who have been displaced again, we're encouraged to pray this week for the Presbyterian Church in Donabate. Lord, as they seek to look after some Ukrainian families that have come to them, Lord, I pray you'll help them. Help them show your love in practical ways. And Lord, help us do the same. Show us the ways we can reach out, helping those in need, those that have had to flee their homes. We pray. Lord, we pray for those who have suffered in other parts of this world, suffering through wars. Lord, we pray that you will help in those situations as well. Help them get what they need when perhaps the world's eye is not on their situation. Lord, we pray that you will just challenge the hearts of your people so they will be able to hear about what's going on and also continue to help us so we can help those who are suffering, those perhaps we have never met, yet we are your people made in your image. So, Lord, continue to guide us and lead us. Lord, we pray even in this incoming week that you will help us. Wherever we go, Lord, you will give us eyes to see that, Lord, when we see a need, you will give us the heart and the means to help with that need. Help us keep our ears open so we can hear of those needs even close to home. And again, give us a heart to help those close at hand here, those who are struggling, those who need a hand. Lord, help us as your people be the first to do so. Give us those opportunities in this incoming week, we pray. So, Lord, we can be the disciples, the followers you call us to be as we pour ourselves out for others. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and we're going to worship God again, this time as we sing the hymn, Speak, O Lord. Stories. We all love a good story, don't we? So much money is made because of our enjoyment of stories. Books written, films produced. For example, I'm not sure if you've seen, this is an old film now, Avatar. Can you believe how much money this film made? Almost $3 billion. An awful lot of money for a film, but people have an appetite to go, and I'm sure you have stories you like. Maybe you don't like this story. Plenty of people did. $3 billion. I just can't get over that amount of money for a film. But stories can draw us in. They can have a meaning. They can have something to say, something to make us think about. And of course, the Bible is full of stories, isn't it? Stories that are used to teach us, to rebuke us, to encourage us. And even as we heard them perhaps first as young ones, they thrilled us. Some of the stories that we heard, we find the Bible full of them. And of course, Jesus used many stories. And of course, he used parables, which are, of course, stories with meaning. Stories with a special meaning designed usually to help us understand. These parables often acting like windows, letting in the light of understanding so we can have that aha moment. I understand because of that little story that can explain a truth that perhaps is more complicated. In Mark 3, Jesus had already used parables to explain who he is and what his actions were all about. And of course, I imagine you all know of many of the parables we find in Scripture, one of which we're going to start to look at today. We'll finish next week. Again, in chapter 4, Jesus uses a parable. But from here on, his use of parables is different. It's different. Instead of helping us to understand, it seems he uses them to restrict understanding. Instead of saying it plainly and simply, Jesus uses parables to make it more complicated, it seems. Again, John MacArthur says he uses them to clarify the truth to believers and to hide the truth from unbelievers. We find from here on, he will say a parable and then he will take time to explain it to those who come to him. Without the explanation, its meaning is usually completely hidden. So we find here the 12 and others come and ask him about this parable personally. They have heard it. They have no idea what it means. So they can come to him and he explains what it means. But he says to them first, before the explanation, which again we'll look at next week, he tells them this: to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And he goes on, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. To his disciples has been given the secret of the kingdom, but for others, everything is in parables. That may confuse us as we hear that. We may be thinking, why is that? Is that fair? When we think of secrets, we think of those bits of information that have been purposely kept from us. Those little facts that really we want to know. We want to crack the secret. We want to find out. But here, secrets refers to that spiritual truth that was previously hidden but has now been revealed. Usually talking about the kingdom of God, things that before were not known, now they were going to be revealed through the coming of Jesus, through his actions, through his teachings. It is revealed to the disciples, again, not just the 12. We're told here about the 12 who were the apostles, but there were others that followed Jesus. As they came to Jesus, they heard the meaning of these parables too. Indeed, anyone that actually inquired from Jesus seemed to be told what these parables meant. It was those that didn't really bother, that didn't really want to, that were out to listen to Jesus for other reasons, they were the ones that did not get to understand the parables. You see, the disciples, they were listening. Anyone that came to listen, anyone that truly wanted to understand, the truth would be revealed to them. Mark 4, verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We all have ears, but some of us come at times to listen, but not really listen. We're there, but it can go in one ear and out the other. We can be there, but really we're thinking about all other things that are more important to us than what we're being told from God's word. Real listening, concentrating, trying to hear what the truth has to say, so then we can go and live it. So we can go and live for Christ. That is what is required, and that is what Jesus is saying here. There is a clear division. Those that truly want to understand, so they can live their life for God through Christ, and those that do not. Those who are there for other reasons, they will not know. And again, we hear that quote from verse 12. So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. That's a quote from Isaiah. Isaiah 6. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. What we have here in Mark 4 is a quotation of Isaiah 6. Again, we can see with the English, it's healed here in Isaiah, but it's forgiven, but it's the same root meaning. Jesus here is talking about those who hear what he was saying, but did not want to really listen, did not want to follow him. They were not seeking to truly understand what he said, but they were actually out to destroy him. And again, we hear that was the Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law. Those that should have been listening to what Jesus had to say. Those who should have been willing to follow him and point others to following him. Instead, they were out to destroy him. They could not understand what he was saying because he was the very key to understanding. He was the Son of God, the Messiah, the one they needed to trust in, the one they needed to follow. But they would not believe in him, so they could not understand his words. John MacArthur says, because they chose to ignore God and his word, God judicially locked them up in their own beliefs. God left them to it. Without Christ, they could not understand the truths of the kingdom because Jesus was the very center. Do you have a real understanding, a real desire to understand the word of God? Do you have a desire to live your life not by your will, but by his? Then there's only one thing you can do about that, and that is commit your life to him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, submitting to him, trusting in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Then seek to live, to know his will, and to have it carried out in your life as you seek to listen to his word and then live it. But you must first come to Christ. You must first submit your life to him, because that's what the gospel's all about, isn't it? That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's all about Jesus. We listen to God's word not simply to fill our heads with facts, with knowledge. We listen to God's word so we can then come and trust in Christ, realizing we are sinners, realizing we're without hope, but with God we have perfect hope. As we submit to God through trusting in Christ, seeking his forgiveness, then we have it. And then as we trust in Christ, who else do we have? The Bible says, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sins. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us take God's word and helps us to understand it and helps us to go and live it. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. First, trusting in Christ. And then as we trust in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit who helps us understand God's word. Those things we may find difficult, as we listen, as we pray, the Holy Spirit will help us understand exactly what we need to know as followers of Christ. And he will give us the ability, the desire, and the ability to put into practice what we learn from God's word as we humbly, continually submit to him and seek his direction. You will know what you need to know. You will understand what you need to understand as a Christian, as you set your trust in Christ, as you seek to do his will each day through the Holy Spirit. He will help you understand, and he will help you do it. You must seek his help day by day, and he will give it to you as a disciple of Christ. You will understand. So we need, once we trust in Christ, to be praying through the Holy Spirit. He will help us understand and do it. Now, briefly, we're not looking at this whole parable, so don't be too shocked at the time. But the parable of the sower, so familiar to us, isn't it? We hear it perhaps mostly at harvest, but seeing it's the next chapter in Mark, I couldn't miss it. A familiar enough activity, again, for the people at this time. A sower, a man hoisting a seed bag over his shoulder and scattering seed as he slowly went through a field. A familiar sight, probably as familiar these days as a tractor going up and down the road. See it all the time. I see them all the time from my wee office window. Who is the sower? Well, those gathered on the shore listening to Jesus would have thought straight away of God sowing. The Old Testament talked continually about God sowing and bringing times of hope. So they'd have thought of God's activity first and foremost. But of course, Jesus was the one that would be the fulfillment to this. He was the one that would bring us true hope. He is the one that could help us be the one that through him we could be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus, of course, is the supreme sower of his word. But who else? Who else can take the place of the sower? Well, anyone that proclaims the gospel, anyone that proclaims the word of God, because the seed, as we know, is the word of God. So those who proclaim it faithfully, those who share it, they also can be seen as sowers. And you know, we're all called to be sowers. Not just the minister, everyone that trusts in Christ. You have the word of God. You have the gospel. You cannot keep it to yourself. You need to be scattering it out, sharing it, sharing the gospel. The duty of the sower is not to spread his own thoughts, his own philosophies, his own clever little ideas, trending topics of the day. The sower's job is to sow the seed, which is the word of God. That's what, as a minister, we seek to do. As a minister, again, my main aim is not to teach you Presbyterianism from the pulpit. You'll get a little bit of that if you come to communion classes this afternoon, a little bit. We're not interested in simply teaching Presbyterianism. We're not interested in simply giving helpful advice. We are duty-bound to sow, to proclaim the word of the living God as found in scriptures. Scripture, that's what your minister is called to do. That's what you called a minister to do, to make sure he is teaching the word of God as is, spreading the seed. Because, of course, the Bible is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It is God's word you should want to be heard here from the pulpit. Not little clever sayings or full of illustrations, although they can help us understand. It is the word of God you and I need to hear explained, so then we can go and through the help of the Holy Spirit understand it and live it. The Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is God's Word that He will use to challenge us, to direct us, to empower us. That's why it is God's Word we should focus on. That's why as a minister, I teach book by book, chapter by chapter, seeking to deal with what comes up as it comes up. Again, Mark at the minute, then I'll probably go, we were in Genesis, I'll go to Exodus, seeking to teach what Scripture says, because unfortunately as a human being, often I do teach topically, but often when I teach topically on a certain topic, there's more of me in it sometimes than the Word of God. What do we need? We need to hear the Word of God. And as we preach the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can take it and show us what we need and direct us. The Word of God is so important. That is my duty, and that is your duty also as Christians. Do not forget that. Listen to the Word of God. So often, when it comes to our quiet time, we can be listening to somebody else's words and illustrations and then have a little couple of lines of the Bible. We need to immerse ourselves more in Scripture. Seek day by day to read more of the Bible. And then seek help to understand it, which we can have from notes, from commentaries. But we need to immerse ourselves primarily in God's Word itself, which the Holy Spirit can then take and apply to your lives. And then our duty, as mentioned, is to pass it on. Pass on God's Word. That's our duty as Christians, to take part in the sowing of the seed. What are you sowing in the lives of those around you day by day? Because do you know what? We are sowing something by what we say and by the way we act. We need to seek to be sowing God's Word around us as we take opportunities to proclaim it, but also live it, the reality of it each day. The farmer, he sows the seed everywhere. Nowhere is excluded. And again, this is what we are told to do, isn't it? We are called to sow the seed everywhere we can. Not to keep back in certain places and think, oh, well, I'll sow it now to these people, but not to those people. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Why? Because all creation is made in the image of God. They're all so important to God, they need to hear the Word of God so they can respond. That is our mission. That is what should drive us as a church. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, seeking that all will hear the Word of God so they can respond to it. What are you willing to do to help the Word of God be sown to the four corners of this world? Because it needs to go forth. We are not to exclude, no exclusions. In farming, you can tell something about the ground, I imagine. I don't really know too much about farming. But you can tell something perhaps by looking at it. You could perhaps tell if it's hard or not. You could tell by looking, is it full of weeds? You could tell somewhat if it's stony. Some you might only see when you dig up. But you could see some stones on top, so you could know something of the ground before you went and decided to sow that field. You could tell if it was prepared or not, had it been ploughed, made ready for the seed. But no matter what you do, I would imagine that ground can still throw up surprises. There'll be things that you never expected. Well, with sowing the seed of God, you have no idea what the soil is like. You have no idea of that person in front of you, how they will receive it. You have no idea how God has been working in their lives before you come and tell them something of God's Word. The Pharisees, well, you would have thought they should have been the people that would have been ready to hear. They were not. The Pharisees themselves, they were people that excluded God's Word from so many. They just thought there was no point. Don't bother. They would have not shared God's Word with the publicans, with the tax collectors, with lepers. Why? They saw no value in them. Therefore, they didn't spend time sharing God's Word. We are to sow the seed with everybody, because we have no idea what the soil of their life is like. Everyone is made in the image of God. Everyone is precious. Everyone needs to have the opportunity. So we take the opportunities we can, sow that seed wherever we are, and trust God to work. Trust God to work through the Holy Spirit. But we dare not exclude anyone because of who they are, what background they have. Exclude no one. And we're told here there will be fruit. There will be fruit. Isaiah 55 verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word of God must be sown. It must be sown to all, exclude no one, because God will use his word to transform the lives of those who hear it. God has, God is, and God will. So therefore, we need to make sure we know what God's word says, make sure we're spreading it, not simply our own thoughts, and then praying that God will work in the lives of those who hear it. Make sure you have it. Make sure you have responded to God already. So through the Holy Spirit, you can understand God's word. Then feast upon it daily, seeking God's help to understand it, seeking God's help to live it. And through the Holy Spirit, we're told, he will give you the help you need so you can understand, so you can live it, so you can go out and make a difference as you share it. And he will give you the ability to do that too. Don't think he won't. Don't think that it's only ministers that can do this. Of course it's not. You can share with whoever's beside you in work far better than I could. Share God's word wherever you go, and God can use you to make such a difference. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we understand that by ourselves, we can understand nothing. Lord, without your help, we cannot understand your word. But Lord, you have not left us helpless. Lord, we thank you that when we come to your Son, the Lord Jesus, submitting and committing our lives to him, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you send us your Holy Spirit to help us understand your word, to help us to go out and live it. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us in darkness. And Lord, we pray that you will help us share your word faithfully as we have opportunity. Lord, help us to share your word faithfully, the gospel. Help us exclude it from no one. Lord, those times when perhaps we think we should be silent, when opportunity comes, help us to be brave and share. Sharing your word wherever we are in the situations we're in, knowing that you can take your word and transform lives through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us be your faithful servants, understanding your word and sharing your word wherever we are. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, that beautiful hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.